Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Devin Leary.
And this is Carolina Barlow.
Okay, first of all, a couple episodes ago, I said that Chris Hemsworth is married to Elsa Husk, when really he's married to Elsa Pataky.
And we are first and foremost journalists, so obviously we felt like we had let our listeners down, and we're sorry.
I'm sorry. I am not a walking encyclopedia, and I can't Google the definition of Chris Hemsworth's wife. And also, I apologize because I said that Pauly D's stalker, aka Eric Bedazzler, was named Angela. In fact, her name is Vanessa, but her nickname is Eric Bedazzler. But her first name is Vanessa, and for that I also apologize. I don't know where Angela came from. It was probably like Angelina was in the back of my head, and I put it with Angela.
You guys understand the confusion. And also, the apology is really directed at Vanessa herself, who obviously, you know, by the nature of her profession as a stalker, likes attention.
Yes.
And to know that she is being besmirched on public record,
I slandered
is
her.
Libel.
She, well, I'm not going to say she can sue me if she wants, because I don't have the funds right now to fight her, but, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. Speaking of things people should apologize for, I want to talk about a little experience I had this morning. Okay?
Continue.
So I'm on Instagram. I do my little thing. I check my Instagram, then I double click on my little icon and check the True Romance Instagram. That's what I always do, because as you all out there may or may not know, our Instagram account, though the Photoshop is impeccable, it is not done by a professional. It's done by Carolina and I. We don't have any experts. We just learned about hashtags. We just go on there. We throw paint on the wall, see what sticks. And that's our Instagram. And so we both check it all the time. A lot of times I'll think like, oh, we don't get any messages. It's because Carolina has already read and responded to all the messages before I can even see them. So today I click on the little paper aeroplane icon to see the messages. And I see Dumois in there. And I was like, it actually says like curators of pop culture's link. So at first I was like, oh, is this just like someone who's a fan of Dumois? And then I was like, oh, no, it's actually like the Dumois like official account. And I was like, oh, well, we just did a segment where Carolina literally recommended them as a fan, as something she highly recommends. So I was like maybe they messaged to say thank you for promoting them. But then I see that that's not the case. The case, in fact, is that Carolina from our joint account messaged Dumois and said, quote, prank calling celebs actually sounds really mean and scary for people who may have already dealt with stalkers. Now, yes, I agree that this, I agree, but I was a little
Thank
shocked
you.
That you chose to go under the aliens, the alias of the True Romance podcast. Was that like so you could protect yourself, or?
Please let me fill in some background and defend myself. First of all, I followed Dumois at the behest of you and Testitzman.
Yes.
On my Carolina Rose Barlow Instagram account.
Okay.
Then I got obsessed, as I usually do.
Okay.
And I thought, I have an unhealthy obsession with Dumois.
Okay.
I don't need to know if Tom Hiddleston is rude, if he's actually nice. No, he's actually rude. No, he's actually nice. So I said, this is preventing me from getting work done. I'm going to unfollow. Little did I know, when I unfollowed, it's private again. So
yes.
When, you know, I got another itch, I couldn't go back on to see, you know, if Drew Barrymore was nice enough to say hi to a fan in a cafe. So I went to the True Romance account and I thought Devin may have followed Dumois from this account. Praise God she did. So that is where I go when I need my fix now. So I go to True Romance and then I go look at Dumois' page. I'm enjoying it. Sure, there's times when it's salacious. Sure, there's times where I think Dumois is even irresponsible with what they post, even though they do their best to black out names and stuff. Then I see that Dumois has posting a series they call Prank Calling Celebs. Now, I have been around notorious prank callers before in a previous friend group.
Oh.
And I was so annoyed by this, and I found it so rude and so immature. And also, just the last time I was around these people and they were prank calling, they were being especially mean. And all of these accounts that Dumois, all of these prank calling celeb accounts that Dumois was reposting, people being like, I called Luke Wilson and he said, how dare you? His grandma had died. Oops, LOL. I was like, this is crazy. Like, listen, my regret is that this is where my focus is in general. There's plenty more people suffering than celebs getting prank called. But there's something about it that is just so gross and invasive and mean that I felt the sudden urge to stick up to my celebrity peers. That's peers.
Okay.
They're peers of mine. Famous people are peers of mine.
Okay.
And say, enough is enough. Stop the violence. Stop the prank calls. Let's be one. Let's one soul, one body, one universe.
And just
Dumois, it does not look like Dumois has read or received my message yet. And I will wait patiently as they do.
Your pronoun choices are interesting because you're saying like me, like I had the urge and the courage to stand up and they didn't see my message. But yet it was not you. It was True Romance Podcast brought to you by Big Money Players Network and iHeartRadio actually had okay. the urge and courage to stick up to Dumois and send them a message.
I think iHeart, I think Big Money Players, I think our True Romance listeners would stick with us in terms of being kind and moral and on the side of justice against prank calls.
Okay. I agree with you. And I think in the end, I think this was the right thing to do. I think if I could turn back time, then I would say go ahead and send it again. How about that?
Thank you for hearing me out. I'm embarrassed. I'm shy. And I regret unfollowing Dumois on my personal page. And to be completely honest, I forgot I was on the True Romance pod.
I know. I do that all the time.
And I would have never messaged it because I would have never wanted you or any other human to see it. But alas...
I do that a lot. I do message people a lot. And then I'm like, oh, shit. Or I like people's... pictures by accident.
I always think it's so funny. I'll like be liking Elizabeth Warren's policy post for the True Romance Spot account.
I'll see her post and I see like the little blue lipstick icon and I'm like, yep, we're out there. We're out here in these streets. We're liking stuff. Okay, so speaking of people like Carolina pretending to be someone they're not.
sure.
Today we wanted to talk about something that really changed culture, society, relationships, people, human nature, science, and biology, chemistry, physics.
Most importantly, television.
And that is Catfish, which originally was a documentary and now is a TV show on MTV. And it's been on for almost a decade. So we... actually, I think had a guest suggest catfishing as a subject a while ago. And then we thought, why don't we review the first ever episode of Catfish? And we thought there was none other more equipped, more gifted and blessed with the tools to aid us in this journey of reviewing Catfish. And that is... my good friend, not Carolina's friend, no matter how hard Carolina tries to play it that way, Brittany Radica. Brittany, welcome.
Welcome to the pod, Brittany.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a dream since I was a little girl to be on here.
To be on True.
So I appreciate it.
Listen, I appreciate all the times that I would sit literally in the middle of the workday come... sit at a chair next to Brittany's desk. So Brittany and I used to work together and she had a chair next to her desk and I would just come and like plop into the seat and be like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, what do I do? This is hard. This is this. One time was like, I think I literally was just saying like, I don't want to do my job. And you were like, you have to. And I was like, okay, sounds good. But
it was sage advice.
You were like, you're being kind of bratty. And I was like, okay, that's totally fair. Actually, I probably wasn't like that in the moment, but looking back, that's how I feel.
I said thank you, and I walked away with renewed purpose.
No, I probably actually cried. I'm not even kidding. You're like, Brittany slapped me.
And then you texted me from the back bathroom, like, I'm in the back bathroom crying about what you said to me, and I just need a little help getting through it.
So a lot of times these were dating issues that I went to Brittany with. Relationship issues, dating issues, complaints, problems, mostly complaints, mostly problems. So when we met, you were single and I wasn't.
You guys did a flipperooski?
Yeah, like I feel like every time I was single, you were in a relationship. Or no, we were both single in Austin because we would go look for the
prospects.
Yeah,
we were both single in Austin for the
And we
the
would prospect. Say prospect, 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 if we could
we
try
would
to
survey
see.
The region, look for some prospects.
And we didn't
And prospectors.
Any. But we didn't find
Since
any.
We were in Austin. We didn't find a single one. We did find... Dev, you did have a prospect down there.
I had a Tinder exchange with someone named Dat Boy, which was D-A-T-B-O-I. And he was a Jesse Pinkman type in my dreams, mm-hmm. a Malibu's Most Wanted type in reality, and it never went anywhere. But we did, Jesse Konevsky did message him from my phone for a while.
He's really the one that got away.
So Brittany and I become friends. She's single and she's always talking about this guy who she's like my neighbor boyfriend, like this cute guy who lives literally right across in New York. It's like this specific to New York thing where you can have a building right next to another building where the windows are like, you know, a few feet apart and you can see into someone else's life. And Brittany's rear window was facing this cute guy's rear window, and she would talk about just that he was cute and he saw her naked, right?
Yeah, very it's American, I mean, you know, beauty. Like it's your bedroom American you beauty. Come out of the shower, you yeah. have it, you know, you think you're in your own space, and then you turn around and neighbor boyfriend is just there
and
waiting.
You stop caring, or at least I do. I'm just like, you know what, at this point let's just be real with each other. I'm sick of hiding. I'm sick of lying. This is my body. This is my beautiful
body. I'm
going to
unveil
body.
The shapes of
These
me
are my breasts.
You.
This is my ass.
This is my ass.
These are my breasts. This is my body.
Do you see the curvature of my ear? Look.
Look.
I'm sick of hiding
you damn
my
coward.
Body.
Look.
Look at me while I'm talking to you.
You look at me in the eye.
So this is basically the exchanges that Brittany had with this guy. And then I invite Brittany to a party with a bunch of people from my college that I know really well. And I was like, oh, do you want to come? We go. And this guy from my college that I was like relatively close with compared to other people was there, and Brittany was like, oh my god, that's my neighbor boyfriend. I knew him.
Yes, neighbor boyfriend. That's out of so anywhere crazy. That you can live in the city,
right?
The man who saw me derobe over and over and over again happened to be a guy that Dev knew in college.
It was so weird. Yeah, I forget, did he recognize you?
I don't know if he recognized me or if he just recognized my ass, you know? I don't know. I don't remember. I think I was just like so nervous at the time. I was like, oh my God, he's here. There are no windows between us now. There's no barrier.
Right.
And I think I was just like so nervous that I was like, okay, I got to go on the roof right now and get away a little bit. But we got over it, and then we just, like, started hanging, like, the boys in that apartment started hanging out with the girls in my apartment. We're, like, we'd have backyard parties and, like, invite each other over
oh,
and stuff.
That's
so cute. Really
that's
cute.
A sitcom.
Yeah.
That's a sitcom.
That was a sitcom. We have to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more true romance.
I want true romance.
Welcome back to True Romance.
Let's talk about a little show, specifically the pilot to the TV show Catfish. Let me just say that pilots of TV shows are usually not their strongest. That's just like the nature of TV. You catch your rhythm as you go on later. So that's what I was expecting, because I've only seen a few episodes of Catfish. I never saw the documentary. So I thought, we're jumping in on season one, episode one. What are we going to, how this probably is going to be boring. They probably won't catch their footing yet. Little did I know it would be one of the more amazing things I've seen this month. It's an episode where a girl named Sunny is going to meet her online partner named RJ. RJ, but, you know, that's what his friends call him. His real name is Jameson. So let's talk about Nev for a second. Nev is the host of Catfish.
It's Neve, Carolina. Sorry, it's Neve.
I don't talk to anyone, so I don't know how I could know these things.
Okay. First of all, wait, let me ask Brittany, what was your intro to Catfish?
My intro to Catfish was today.
Oh, wow.
I mean, wow. Yesterday, actually. Yesterday. But the show I had never seen. But the thing is, I'm not like a reality person, like reality TV person. So it was not like, it wasn't even on my to watch list.
Right.
But am I so glad I watched it? Yeah, yes. Absolutely I am.
Right.
Absolutely.
And have either of you been catfished?
No, never.
I've never been catfished. There were times when, back when I was dating, let's say 2015, take you back.
Good year before time. It all went good, down.
Oh, such a good year. Obama was still in office.
Trump was a joke.
We had no idea.
And I was on OkCupid. And I don't know if they still do this, but at the time, if you made an account, you had to choose a username. So it wasn't your real name for everyone. And I get a message from this guy, and his handle or whatever, his username is Uniquely Casual.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Interesting.
Sure. You're not just casual. There's You're something
uniquely
unique
so
about how casual you are. So he like writes something like, hey, you know, hey, hottie, whatever. And
humble brag.
Sorry.
He writes something.
He says something like, hey, model. Hey, super beautiful. And I'm like, here we go again. Hello. Yes.
Hey, I've seen you in a couple magazines at this point.
At this point. I must just say something.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not into this guy. A couple weeks later, I get a message from not Uniquely Casual, from a new user, casually_unique. A couple days later, another message from unique-casually. A couple days later, one from Unique Interest.
The last two,
in his attempt to catfish me, never said, like, I'm the same person. Obviously, he's trying to make these separate accounts. My two favorites were casual_chef and chef_casually.
He stopped going for unique because he was like, now there's like five of me. How unique could I be?
He wanted so badly to catch you. You have to admit that it's kind of flattering that he wanted to set up some sort of...
So many accounts. I know.
Intrusion into your life so badly that he set up seven accounts.
Man, maybe I should have given him a chance or something.
At this point?
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the time now more than ever to just think about... Someone,
when a casual chef
not
comes
all
into
chefs
your life.
Are casual. A lot of them are really formal, and
it's actually
annoying.
A really hard business. Yeah.
It sounds like Guy Fieri, like, hey, out here in the barbecues.
Would you guys ever hook up with Guy Fieri?
100% no hesitation. Yes.
Sure.
Love him. He, for some reason, somewhere in my life, I heard someone say, like, oh, I think Guy Fieri is like, everyone knows him to be like a really nice person. And so for years I've been saying like, he's actually a really nice person. Like whenever people make fun of him. And then
he's raised millions of dollars for restaurant workers during COVID.
Yeah. So that's what happened this year. And I was like, this is what I've been saying for years. Guy Fieri is actually a really nice person. And he's got great style. and trash can nachos for $70 on Goldbelly.
Have you seen the picture of him where they photoshopped, like, this is what he would look like with regular hair, and he just looks like Simon Cowell?
No! No! Wait!
Do yourself a favor. Google.
How does he...
Normal
hair. How is it Simon Cowell? I thought you were going to say he just looks like your uncle outside at your grandma's birthday party.
It's a striking resemblance between... with a very bloated Simon Cowell.
Me and our friend Emma Carroll wanted to make a shoot off of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Okay,
but,
spin off. Go ahead.
But it'd be called Dick Hunters, and it would be us looking for the best dicks in America.
I love that.
Oh, wow.
So, MTV, if you're listening.
MTV, we threw you a bone here. We did an episode promoting Catfish's pilot. No one was going to watch Catfish's pilot 12 years later if it wasn't for us.
Okay, I really want to get into the pilot because it is so good. Neve is obviously the host, and he's the host because he's been catfished before.
Yes.
And that's what the documentary is about. He was catfished by a woman named Angela.
Yes.
And he fell in love with her alter ego, who was by nature hotter.
Yes.
By nature of catfishing, you know, I wish that in one of these episodes, the girl is so much hotter than how she presents herself online. But that's just not human nature. So Neve decides to make a show based off his own experience. And pilot number one, we go to Arkansas to meet a girl named Sunny. Now, I would describe Sunny as sort of a Britney Spears avatar, like heavy eyeliner, yellow bleach blonde hair. She wears the jean shorts with the pockets sticking out, tankless. I mean, what's it called? Strapless tops.
Tankless. Yeah. No, I just want to say.
How'd you say cucumber?
Cucumber. No, I just want to say that I am glad that Neve and Angela are friends. I do, however, hope that Angela is getting some sort of royalties on
she inspired this
the catfish
whole series.
Empire. And, like, no offense, but Neve, like, the odds were in his favor. He's saying he grew up in New York City. He's a good-looking guy, I'll dare to say. He wants to make films. Like, he's probably going to do okay. Angela, we all saw in the documentary, like, her life is so hard for so many reasons. She doesn't have a lot of money. She's using catfishing as an escape from her life, which is, like, almost intolerably hard. So maybe throw Angela a bone and hashtag justice for Angela. But I'm happy that they're, quote, friends. And I hope that that's enough for her. Friendship? I don't think so.
I also want to... chat really quick about Vince, the husband, and the fact he coined
the phrase,
the term catfishing.
He did. I forgot about that. That's so true. Because
he had this like cute little story at the end about how they were shipping these codfish from somewhere to China. By the time they got to China, the codfish meat was soggy. And so they had this idea that instead of just throwing cod in during the shipment, they'd put catfish in with them, and the catfish would chase the cod around and nip at their fins, and that the whole idea is that we need the codfish in our lives to keep us agile, to keep us fresh.
Yes.
So our meat is nice and tender when people want to take a bite of it.
Yes.
I use this phrase all the time, thanks to him.
I know. And Vince is Angela's husband. So in the documentary, they ask him, like, what he thinks of the fact that she's been in a relationship with Neve over the internet for many years. Justice for Vince and justice for Angela and justice for Sunny's eyeliner.
So Sunny lives in Arkansas, as we said. As Devin put it, she's the most 2012 girl ever. She really embodies the look. And she's reached out to Neve and thus the show because she met a guy on Facebook named Jameson RJ and fell in love with him. But as is tradition with catfish, they only ever talk on the phone and have never met in person. So I guess back in 2012, this was less of a red flag.
Well, I think in 2012, Facebook was the main social media thing. Like, Instagram had just come out. Facebook was more primary. And I do think that there's always, according to 90 Day Fiancé as well, there's always been like a world of people that actually friend strangers on Facebook and meet them that way. Like, if I've gotten requests from strangers before, and I'm always like, that's so weird. But people actually do that. And they're like, oh, this person's like cute. Let me meet them. And then let me fly to the Ukraine and like try to make them my fiance.
Let me start giving them money.
Yeah.
So she describes Jameson. They show pictures of him. He's like this sort of generically attractive blonde, muscly, kind of muscled guy. Great, you know,
Abercrombie model guy.
Exactly. She says he's a model in LA. So he's obviously always on the run. And he's taking classes to be an anesthesiologist. He is also the cue card guy for Chelsea lately. But it's more of a hobby. And she keeps on saying throughout the episode, she's like, well, the money, like how he takes care of himself is, you know, modeling. Modeling is his life. And that's just, it really speaks to the confidence of her that she's just like, yeah, I'm dating a model. So.
Okay. So also, can I just say that as someone who's been job searching for like a year, it's offensive to me to present anesthesiologist as like your side hustle. Like, hopefully, if I'm ever getting a heart transplant or even what's more likely, a boob job when I'm older, which is like something I've always planned on, I don't want the anesthesiologist to have gone to University of Phoenix. I don't want them to be like, oh, this is just what I do, you know, to get by. But really, my passion is modeling. And also,
anesthesiologists are some of the highest paid people in hospitals because it's such a scary job to do.
As we all know from Grey's Anatomy, when the yes. anesthesiologist was drunk yes. and it was like, oh my God, this girl, this little girl so was awake during her surgery. Like,
season one.
That little girl season is me one. When I'm getting my boob job in a few years. Like, I don't want that. And I just also want to say that having lived in LA for a year, not to make everything that I'm talking about me and my boob job and me living in LA, but like I lived in LA for
ahead.
A year.
Yep.
And I will say that I did not see a lot of models on the go. I saw a lot of models standing in front of pink walls and drinking matcha lattes. I didn't see them like running around. I don't think go-sees from America's Next Top Model are actually a thing. Like, that presented a false idea that models are like, oh, gotta get my folder and go on the run to my go-see. But they don't do that. Like, they do Zoom like auditions, right? Carolina, you would know.
Well, in my years, so they talk to Sunny. She shows them some dialogue she's had with RJ/Jameson on Facebook, and that her sister, Summer, actually was the one who introduced them, and she met him a few days before. So this reminds me of being in high school. I was 15, and my friend was talking to a college age guy in Utah who I obviously recognize as a predator now, but at the time she was like, yeah, like these stupid high school boys, I'm actually talking to this guy and he knows bands like the Shins and stuff like that. And I was like,
this is sounding like a Degrassi storyline that I do not want to hear the end of.
But it's actually fascinating in retrospect, because so then I start chatting with him and my friend is like, I can't believe. Yes.
Why?
This is like,
wait,
because
why?
Like, because I was 15. I was stupid. And my friend was talking to this like, quote unquote, who knows? He was probably like a 6-year-old man, like in fucking Arkansas near where Sunny lives.
Wait, sorry. So your friend was chatting with him and then she like gave you his number or something?
His MySpace info. And then I got his AIM off of that, or he got mine or whatever. So we start chatting. Wait. And then
okay,
he starts doing the thing that like predators do where he's like, you're so mature, you're so much more mature than your friend. And me being like, well, yeah, I am. That was like as weird as it got. We never like nothing ever got weird. It was more like trading like books we liked and music we liked. And but isn't that weird? Like,
well, it's awkward because that is when I met Brittany, it was over AIM. And I did say that she was so much more mature than her friends. But I thought I was just being nice.
So basically what I'm trying to say is I identify with Sunny. Summer, her sister, met RJ or whatever online before, Jameson online before. And Sunny, as most people who are getting catfished are, she's just super confident about it. Like, she mentions that Niamh at one point is looking at pictures of RJ and says, who's that girl next to him? And she's like, oh, that's one of his sisters. That's one of his sisters that was killed in the car crash. All three of them died in the car crash. And he's like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. And she's like, yeah, that's a conversation topic we stay clear of.
That part to me, I watched that part like four times in a row. And Niamh keeps it together. Like, this is clearly something that is completely right, fabricated.
Yeah.
You have not one, not two, but three sisters. Sure, fine. But all of them perished in a car crash? These beautiful
and we don't
blonde
talk
girls,
about it.
But we don't talk
we
about
don't
it.
We don't talk about it.
And he keeps his cool so well. He's like, he makes her feel so comfortable in that moment. And, you know, props to Niamh on that, because I don't think I could keep my shit together.
Well, Niamh and Max are basically there as a team and together, and you can just see like the what the fuck looks like flying back, or at least the messages like being like, are you serious? Are you serious? At one point he's like, oh, you have a bridal magazine? And she's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, that's normal. Like, you go to the store, you see a bridal magazine, you think, I might be a bride in the next 3 to 5 years. You buy the bridal magazine, you look through the pages, you circle a couple dresses that you think look good. It's just like, maybe, who knows, who knows, who knows?
She's showing messages between them, and she's like, oh, this is when he sent me the poopy face emoji, because he knows that's my favorite. I was like, oh boy.
So I have watched a lot of Catfish, and I've always loved it. And I always wish that they would show, like, I'm sure there's like the weirdest messages in there that they can find. Like, they always go with the basic, like, I love you, I will always love you, like, whatever. But I'm always like, I wish they would just include like the weirdest shit that they find in the messages. But in this one, they did include that Jameson had said, like, I can't wait till we make like beautiful human babies together. And Sunny just said, agreed, exclamation.
Yep.
Okay.
Same.
Same. Looking forward. Okay. Keep in touch. Looking forward. Look forward to then.
So have a safe great then. Summer.
Stay safe until then. Be well.
So then Niamh and Max are basically like, so we're going to go do some research. Just check some things out. They're basically like, okay, so we're going to go talk shit about you and how fucking stupid you are for believing this.
Yeah. Well, also, like, I have to say that it's so obvious how much they've upgraded. Like, the... In some ways, I love this era so much more than the current Catfish, because the current Catfish is very, like, serious and, like, I mean, sometimes they're still funny and they have, like, celebrity guests on and stuff, but it's just very, like, this is serious subject matter and, like, let's discuss and let's go in here. And they're always in, like, a sleek hotel room. But this was, like, they were in the most low-rent they were, like, actively getting bedbugs in a low-rent motel looking at, like, Adele laptop, no offense Brittany, with your non-Mac PC, but they're like, okay, so what do we do? And they're like, was I not hard enough on her, on him? Like, I don't know. Like, they're just so, like, not knowing.
They're totally just working it out. Yeah. Like, they're figuring out the show as they're going along, which is cute,
which I love.
They're like, we're gonna go do some research, dig some stuff up. Yeah. And they're like putting his name into Google. I'm like, you're using a computer.
They're
like,
using
you're
Bing.
Not fucking
they're searching
Holmes.
On Bing. They're asking Jeeves.
They're asking Jeeves.
They're just opening their window like, anyone heard of Jameson? No?
Extra. Catfish on the loose. Yeah. Basically. No, that's so true. And then they were like, we found an interview with him. I was like, wait, why did we never touched base on, like, why did Jameson do an interview, though? Like, that was kind of weird. And he was like, his interview was like, my sisters are like superstar athletes. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, the sisters are athletes. OK, so R is present tense. I was like, OK, guys, you are not like Carrie from Homeland right now.
Well, it's also just it's a little bit of a time suck, because we're like, we know he's lying. Like, we know that.
Right.
Let's move on.
Right.
But yes, we have to prove to the doubters out there that RJ is not, in fact, an anesthesiologist/model. they call Chelsea Lately and ask for him. And Chelsea Lately's receptionist or intern or whatever is like, we don't use cue cards.
Okay, so Brittany, you were the intern manager at the place where we worked. Did you ever get calls for references from people that didn't exist? And were they
Did Neve ever call?
Did you ever interact with Neve when you were hiring people?
I wish. We did get reference calls, but I never took them. I had to give them over to the people who had the information. So I was so surprised when the front desk person was like,
who?
Speaking to, I mean, I was surprised when Chelsea Handler answered the phone and and said, we don't have cue cards.
She said, we don't have cue cards, and I think I'm actually going to leave this industry for activism because I can't even, like, deal with this type of shit.
This is the last straw. These cue cards are the last straw.
So, thank God, the best moment of the pilot is when Neve first calls, quote-unquote, Jameson.
I was just going to set it up by saying Neve says, I'm just going to call Jameson, and a voice answers and simply says, hello.
Hello. But like this. Hello.
Not so even. It was like higher than that. It was like, hello.
But it was not, without knowing Jameson, we knew it was not Jameson's voice. It was the voice of maybe a 14-year-old boy.
Right.
Or woman. Which we'll get to.
The voice was shocking. I was like, I was on Chelsea's side for a while. I was like, okay, like, I get it. Like, I would easily, I've been desperate for love in the past. I could easily be, like, messaging with someone.
Same.
I don't ever video chat with people until now. Haha, 2020, worst year ever, am I right?
am I right?
But that's so my mood and my vibe right now is like, oh, 2020. But I don't normally FaceTime, so I can see this. I'm like, okay, I get it. But then when I heard the voice, I was like, Sunny, really? Like this?
Yeah, it was like, oh, come on. No, you don't hear?
Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? I know.
Well, that's the weird part too, is that Neve just basically says, hey, this is Neve. I'm friends with Sunny.
Right.
And Jameson's like, oh, hey.
No follow-up.
If I was catfishing someone and Neve called me, I would hang up immediately, you know, change my address, shut down my phone number, shut down my accounts.
Go into witness protection program. No, I mean, I think... a lot of times on the show, when he calls and says, like, I'm a friend of so-and-so's, the people at least are like, wait, what? Like, why are you calling? As you would be. Like, if someone just randomly called me and said, hey, this is so-and-so, I'm friends with Matt, I would be like, oh, okay, like, what's going on? Is everything okay? Like, why are you calling me? What's your name again? I've never heard of you. But this person was just like, oh, hey, what's up? Like, random person calling me in the middle of the day, what's up?
And then Neve goes, hey, what are you up to? And Jameson's like, hanging out, shopping. And Neve goes, where are you right now? And Jameson goes, Paris.
Listen, if you're gonna lie, go for gold. Don't
go big.
Don't say Chicago. Don't say Honolulu. Well,
this is, yeah, I love liars. We're a big fan of liars on the True Romance Pod.
Yes.
And the bigger, the better. And my favorite is when Neve says, oh, well, you know, I'm from New York. Do you ever go there? And, you know, Jameson doing his math about what a model does and looks like,
go
potentially
sees.
An anesthesiologist and cue card writer, too.
Yes.
Says, oh, yeah, that's cool. And Neve goes, yeah, I mean, I grew up on the Upper East Side. What about you? Where do you stay when you're in New York? And again, Jameson scanning his brain goes, Manhattan. And he's like, yeah, no, where in Manhattan?
And then he hangs up. That was like the final straw. That was the moment, not like, wait, so I'm a friend of the person that you're personally scamming and committing fraud to. It was when he said, where in New York do you stay? He didn't have a single this person didn't have a single thought in mind. Like, maybe I've seen the West Village on a TV show, or like I've seen the Empire State Building in Sleepless in Seattle. Didn't have a single thought, just hung up.
It would have been so cool if he said that he stayed in the Empire State Building.
I would have respected that. I mean, that's the Paris answer of this question. It's like, just go big, go bold. I live in the Twin Towers. Oh, they're gone? Well, that's a whole nother conversation, because are they really gone? And then it just becomes a conspiracy theory show.
In Jameson's defense, if I don't know an answer on the phone, I hang up right away.
That's
sorry.
True.
You lost me. It gives me a little bit of time to get myself together, you know?
That is true.
Well, that's the best part, is that Neve calls back after Jameson obviously hangs up, and then Jameson goes, oh, hey, sorry about that. Like, why are you picking up?
I know, like, just
pretending
choose.
That you lost service at the perfect time when the conversation was about to get really awkward.
I think that a lot of them struggle with choosing between, like, the obvious thing to do to us is, like, just give up the scam now and pretend you had nothing to do with this, never respond. And I'm sure that's what, like, half the people do that they try to film episodes about, but they only air the ones where the person responds. And I think the people who respond, it's like they don't want to completely give up on the correspond. Like, to me, it seems like the people who respond, it's like they actually do kind of care about the person somehow, and like they don't want it to all be ruined or something. They think they can still salvage it. Alternatively, they're just a pathological liar.
Yes. So basically, Neve and Max and the Catfish MTV crew quickly sets up a meetup, which is, it's mysterious how they got this done. It's mysterious how they got, I can only think that there was some sort of transaction that was made to encourage,
you think they prostituted
Jameson, again, quote unquote, to out himself.
They sold their bodies on the street.
There must have been someone selling some ass.
Oh my God. Okay. Not above it. I would do that to set up a catfish if I could be a firsthand witness.
But in the meantime, we set up, there's a sort of a makeover shopping scene with Sunny, where she's getting ready to meet Jameson. When they bring up the inconsistencies to Sunny, she is so defensive. She's like, yeah, well, he isn't, like, he doesn't do cue cards all the time because he's busy modeling.
Yeah.
Like,
obviously.
His sisters are definitely dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. She's like annoyed with them. And she's like, and this is the point where sometimes I feel bad and I'm like, just let this person believe this lie. I mean, sometimes I feel like that with these shows. I'm like, okay, he's happy believing that he's dating this girl. Don't show him the real person. Yeah. And I felt that way with Sunny a little bit. I'm like, let her live in delusion. Don't you see how happy she is?
She was.
Don't
really
wake
happy.
Her up to the Matrix. Let her live in the Matrix.
That's she a was so fair happy. Point.
But it's really funny because she's shopping and all of her friends are like, oh, you look so cute. And then Neve is like, what do you guys think? And they're like, we think it's really weird, obviously.
I know.
And then she comes out of the dressing room and they're like, you look
You're great.
Go, girl. Summer, Sunny's sister, comes over, who's basically Sunny with brown hair.
Okay, wait. So I want to ask you guys this. You, Caroline, and Brittany both have sisters. I do not have a sister. This interaction seemed so bizarre to me.
This is not usual, obviously, to the sister relationship. I can't speak for you, Brittany, but I've never gone from being like, hey, girl, what's up, to, well, fuck you, I don't care what happens, and don't call me.
That was so
I was talking to him first, so I don't know why you're talking to him now. Summer is basically so pissed that Sunny is going to go for it with this guy because
She's laid claim to him
exactly
in her mind. Like, that I talked to him first, so he's mine to toy with. But I don't understand how they didn't have a conversation about this.
Right.
Prior to the convo we saw.
So weird. And it's so weirdly, you know, usually in reality TV fights, there's like insane music and
build
you know,
up. Yeah.
Glances across the room, and they're literally sitting on the couch being like, well, I really don't like that you're doing that. Okay, so don't call me. No, I don't approve of this. I hate it, and I won't be there for you. I will not be there for you, so don't reach out to me. And then it's literally like, okay, bye. And Neve is like, so how was that? And she was like, it wasn't as bad as I expected.
Yeah, she's like, I thought she was going to fight me. So it was like better than I thought. Even though the sister is like, you make stupid choices and don't ever reach out to me again. And I was like, oh.
I'm so curious to how Summer, Sunny's sister, watched the episode.
I know. I don't know. It's also just kind of weird to me the way it all happened. Like, Summer, I guess the way Sunny found Jameson is that she saw her sister had added him and thought he was cute, so she started chatting to him.
Got it. Okay.
So that's weird to me. Like, but again, I don't have a
was
sister.
It behind her back?
I don't know. Yeah, like, did she, like, IM her and say, like, hey, can I also add this stranger that you seem to have added on your Facebook page?
So we quickly go to the introduction where they, again, Neve gets Jameson's address. They pull up to his house and it's already like a shock to the system. Sunny is like in her cute strapless yellow top she went shopping for that her friends approved of. And she's like, wait, is this real? Is this it? Like, wait, what's going on? I know something's going to go wrong. And out walks quote unquote Jameson, who is a 18-year-old woman in a t-shirt. Her hair's back. She's not a model, not an anesthesiologist, not a cue card writer. And I've seen this on multiple Catfish episodes where the catfish is like, hey, yeah, it's me. No, my name's not Jameson. It's Chelsea, actually. Sunny is like, she's like, what is happening?
What?
Oh my God.
Yeah, she literally said, Jameson, also known as Chelsea, just said, it's me. Like, it's me. It's been me. It's me. Just, it's
How
me.
How crazy that she had been attributing this voice to a male model
yes.
for months on end. And then to hear that voice come out of Chelsea's body had to have been so shocking.
It's so amazing. Okay, and this is when it gets really dark, is that it's so weird. What upsets Sunny most about this is her own homophobia. Like, she's like, so you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
So you're a lesbian. I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter whether she's gay or not. She has been lying to you about dating you. She's not Jameson.
Yeah, this was when the Arkansas really started to come out. Like, there was a while where I could see myself, you know, hanging out with Sunny. I could see myself going shopping, looking at her come out of the dressing room and go, oh, yeah, I love it. But then when the Arkansas came out and she said, you're a lesbian, in a derogatory way, I was thrown back into my memories of Jessica Simpson's memoir, Open Book, where she talks about being bullied by homophobic people. And, you know, it's not great. So this is the moment where I personally shifted from Sunny's side of things to Chelsea's side
yes.
of things, even
mm-hmm.
though Chelsea in this moment was absolutely showing zero remorse and was like, okay, so actually I made the Facebook as revenge. And it's not my fault that Sunny started messaging that Facebook. Like, what was I going to do? And also she
that
said she's
best.
Been doing it for 4 years to multiple people.
When she said that too, I was like, so you've been doing this since you were 14.
Right.
But I think one of the reasons I shifted to Chelsea's side too was because Chelsea obviously did this because she's been bullied, which she talks about later.
Yes.
And then Sunny basically reenacts being a bully.
Yeah.
Like, they just sort mm-hmm. of set up the same dynamic. But the funniest part is Sunny being like, okay, well, there's something wrong with you. There's got to be something wrong with you. And Chelsea's like, no, there's not. Like, all right, Chelsea.
She's like, how would you know that? Which, to be fair, I was like, yeah, I guess like she doesn't really know you, but she has been talking to you for almost a year because you've been pretending to be someone else. Like, she was like, you have a personality disorder, which honestly would be like a fair maybe presumption to say, like, you have a personality disorder for 4 years. You've pretended to be someone
yeah.
else and victimized people. Four years is all of high school, guys.
Yeah, that's
a long time.
And it's a full-time job to maintain online relationships and a fake persona.
Yeah.
And then Sunny says basically like, well, Sunny's obviously so humiliated. And I think the whole thing is sort of hitting her. Like, she's on this TV show. Everyone's going to see. I think that's why so much homophobia comes out too immediately, is that she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've obviously, like, everyone's going to see that, you know, everyone's in my Arkansas town is going to see that I've been exchanging romantic a conversation with a woman. So I have to, like, get ahead of this and, like, be homophobic towards her, so people know that I'm neighborly, which is what neighborly can be in Arkansas. And Sunny starts threatening Chelsea and is like, well, you're lucky there's a camera crew here, because if there wasn't, I would take you out like none other. And Chelsea's like, I'm twice your size.
By the way,
Chelsea's like, yeah, well, I'm twice your size.
Speaking of casually unique, I love how casual Chelsea is about all of this. Like, she, it's just like the Paris thing. Like, she was just like, yeah, Paris, hanging out, shopping. What do you mean?
Like nothing fazes her.
Nothing breaks her facade. She actually would be a good, like, live TV person. If Chelsea lately did do cue cards, they could hire her, because she doesn't seem to get fazed by anything. Like, nothing.
I'm going to start adopting her persona for work.
Chelsea for Chelsea.
That's Chelsea. Clearly where she came up with that. She's like, clearly. Okay, George Glass, Chelsea. My name is Chelsea. Chelsea Handler. Chelsea Lately. I work at Chelsea Lately.
Hashtag justice for Angela. Hashtag Chelsea for Chelsea.
Yes. We have to take a quick break, and then we'll get back into more catfish.
I want true romance.
Welcome back to True Romance. We're talking catfish. Okay, so what did you guys both think of Neve's follow-up conversation with Chelsea? So Sunny leaves in a huff. She's very upset. And then Neve follows up with Chelsea to have a sort of heart-to-heart with her.
I thought this was really nice. And I thought he... I mean... Isn't he, like, being accused of being a predator? I don't want to give him too many compliments.
Is he?
I had looked up catfish, and it was like the production had some allegation, like misconduct allegations.
What?
That have since been dropped or something?
Okay, well, I'll say that I thought that he approached the story directly instead of just the shock of it. And like, this person's fucked up, asking her, like, why did you do this? And asking it with compassion.
Yeah, he definitely led that conversation with, like, some kid gloves and definitely compassion. I loved when he was like, I can say as a kid who's been bullied, it gets better. And I was like, oh, my God, remember, it gets better?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was such a big push. Good for you.
Wait, it gets better, meaning, like, people telling
you? It means
you?
If you're gay, like, basically, like, it's it was sort of
it was like a
anthem.
Campaign. Yeah.
Oh, I said yes because I thought you were referencing like our moms telling us it gets better. And I was like, yeah, I do remember my mom saying that.
Devin's like, pre-nose job? Yeah.
Oh, when my mom said that, like, I might actually have a boyfriend someday because I was getting rhinoplasty? Yeah.
So then Sunny basically forces Chelsea to out herself, which Chelsea does by saying that she's bisexual. And it's so awkward. And this is another thing that I've seen on another catfish episode when the person who was catfished, so Sunny in this case, basically says, like, you know, like, it's weird. Like, I can't imagine not talking to you. I watched one catfish episode where the woman had, like, scammed people out of money using a GoFundMe saying her daughter had cancer. And she had been talking to this guy for, like, 5 years. Like, it was a lot. And he was, like, anyway, so when they meet, he basically goes, well, like, it's hard because I still love you. Like, where do all these feelings go? You know, we talk about it. When I say we, I mean, Carrie Bradshaw talks about it post-breakup. Like, when you break up, where does the love go? And it's like, when you've been catfished, where does that relationship go? Like, you're still heartbroken.
I don't know. I remember when it came out thinking, like, oh, I wonder if anyone will actually end up in a relationship with the type of person they wouldn't normally be in a relationship with. Like, if Sunny had ever questioned her sexuality, which sounds like that's the last thing she wants anyone to ever think she would do. But, like, I wonder if she would be like, maybe I could be with a woman. Like, this is the person I've been talking to. Or maybe a normal person who's just really vain and only sticks to a certain type might end up in a 5-year long relationship with someone that they wouldn't normally be with and just consider opening their minds, but usually it doesn't work out that way. And normally it's like Niamh being like, okay, they're fighting. Okay, like you go back to the motel. Like I'm going to talk to her, whatever. So yeah.
I was surprised at, I mean, after Sunny forced Chelsea into coming out, which is awful. Yeah. And no one should ever have to go through that.
Yeah.
I was,
your sympathy for Sunny really weighs very quickly. I know.
Very much so. But I was surprised at how quickly, I mean, after that all went down, how quickly that kind of subsided and both of them, I mean, it was very clear that Chelsea had feelings.
Yeah.
For Sunny. And Sunny still had those feelings. And I think, like, beyond that, they were able to kind of put that aside and say, okay, we can still be, like, I care about you in a way. I don't know. It was a weird, like, 180 there.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, friends from childhood that you're not, like, ever going to be close with again, but then on your birthday, you always, like, say, happy birthday, you know, or something. Like, you think of them, and you're like, oh my god, we actually, like, thought that we were going to be, because that's kind of how it is when you're, like, a kid. You're like, we are going to be best friends forever. Like, this, nothing changes this. And then you, like, grow up and realize that, like, things change. This is kind of like that. Like, they thought they had this, well, Sunny thought they had, like, this life together, which is why she bought a bridal magazine. And now they're not.
I also think they're connected from this experience, not just from a relationship they had online, but they both are in their own ways, like, outed, not in the way that Sunny forced Chelsea to be outed. I mean more like they both were embarrassed on the same TV show about this relationship. Sunny being embarrassed that she was, like, so gullible, and her being like, well, I'm humiliated. And Chelsea being embarrassed for, like, being A, again, forcefully outed, and B, just like she's like, I don't know why I did this stuff, because I'm insecure, and because I'm, you know, like, with, in so many words, she was trying to say that she was lonely, I thought. Yeah. Because it sounded like it started as a revenge thing, but it seemed more like someone who was really lonely and this was a way they could have a relationship.
Yeah.
Which is, again, when I switched from Team Sunny to Team Chelsea. Not that I recommend, you know, catfishing or stealing someone's identity, but I do. No, I'm just kidding. but in the way, I also found Chelsea's Instagram, and she looks like a really happy person now.
Really?
I looked at it too.
I was scared to look.
She loves her nephew. She looks very happy.
Her nephew. She looks very happy.
Okay. What about Sunny?
Ooh, very good question. Let me look her up. Sunny. I would not be surprised if she was married. I'm going to put money on the fact that she's married.
I looked at Niamh and Max's.
Oh, no. I have a mugshot coming up. DWI, and it's not a good picture. That's all I'll say.
Is she
you guys, don't smile in your mugshot pictures. It's so weird.
It makes you look kind of, like, malicious. Okay, so... yeah, that makes sense, because in the end of the show, they do, like, this thing, like, let's catch up a year later, or not a year later, but however, 3 months later. They do this whole thing about how Chelsea started a bullying, anti-bullying organization to, like, help other kids, to give them the support that she never had, which is obviously beautiful, and obviously I'm on the verge of tears. And then they literally cut to Sunny, and they're like, oh, Sunny, she grew her hair out and has a boyfriend. And I was like, okay, so someone has had some positive change and another person has extensions. Good to know.
After Sunny, I'm reading an article that after Sunny got arrested for a DWI, she tweeted the next day that after her, she tweeted the day after her arrest that she had, quote unquote, an epic fail and was getting a pedicure after spending the night in good old jail.
Hashtag epic fail.
Sunny.
DUI, hashtag epic fail. I'm getting a pedicure because I'm at a good old jail.
Hashtag the struggle is real, as my mom texted me earlier today when I sent her a picture of our dogs.
Okay, Sunny's bio is devoted mommy, daughter of Christ.
No!
Dog lover and rescuer.
We knew it.
Daughter of Christ!
Light for Jesus. She didn't say that, but, you know.
Wait, what did she say? Rescuer?
She's a dog rescuer.
Oh, man. Wow. Come on.
We agree on the dog you're rescuing. We don't agree on the...
Christ child?
The Christ...
Body of Christ.
Wait, who put this RJ...
Homophobia.
Who put this RJ Instagram in the...
Oh, I did. I found him.
How did you guys... You guys should go work for Catfish. You found all these people.
I can research. I can use the Google.
Wait, oh my God. RJ campaigned for Biden Harris and he has a really cute golden doodle.
The real RJ.
The real RJ.
It would be so flattering to know that your pictures
were used
to catfish someone.
I definitely thought that when I saw the documentary. Like, what does this girl that Neve thought was his girlfriend have that I don't have? Because no one's using my pictures.
It reminds me of like the bot accounts you would see on Tinder where it was like a supermodel like with like an 8-pack, like all like tan and oiled up, being like trying to match and be like, "Hey, you model?"
Yeah.
"Hey, you
actually maybe it was
casual
like
chef?
I don't know."
Wait, okay, guys, RJ is like posting about essential workers being heroes and like mask wearing. Honestly,
we have a low bar
to see a white man showing up in this way. Wait, also he's like going to a Harper's Bazaar party. Okay, someone,
of course he's the one who came out on top.
Someone's come out on top. Someone has come
through.
I'm
gonna catfish RJ. Complete the circle.
Okay, so Brittany, Carolina, please give me your biggest takeaway each from this episode.
My biggest takeaway is that if you are caught in a lie, really embrace the energy of Chelsea.
Yes.
And just be like, yeah, no, I wasn't in Paris.
It's
no,
me.
No, I live here.
It's me.
It's me. You can't beat me up. I'm twice your size.
I like that.
Come out of the house. Be like, don't change for
she
the camera.
She doesn't care about anything.
She doesn't give a fuck.
Both times she was on camera, she just wore like a t-shirt, which I loved.
Once a guy confronted me about falling in love with his roommate, and when he was even just saying like, hey, so like, let's talk about this, I was on the floor covering my ears being like, no, I don't want to talk about it, and I could have just embraced the experience of Chelsea and been like, yeah,
so
what? Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, it's
I'm
me.
I'm twice your size.
It's me.
Okay. I wish I had that confidence.
Yes.
I know.
Brittany, what was your takeaway?
Oh, man. My takeaway was Catfish is really an agent for good in this world. And if it means that an anti-bullying campaign can come out of it, I'm all for keep it on the air for as long as we can. I love that Chelsea made this like organization against bullying.
I wish it was an organization for catfishers.
I wish it was an organization for Angela and Vince to get their justice from their royalties from the show.
Devin, what was your takeaway?
I just completely made it about myself and thought about how like, oh, cool, Devin, like you've never thought to like go out there and film something. Good job. Maybe that's why you don't have a job now. Maybe that's why you have shitty health insurance because you never thought
Jesus Christ.
Just take out your camcorder, take out your cell phone with the camera in it, go out and film something like they said in film school, just do it. And I never did. And I could be Neve and I'm not. So that was my takeaway. And I am self-centered.
That's so dark.
And that's okay.
Max was really a one-man band there. Like, he had, like, 8 different cameras. One on a cell phone. One that was, like, a little flip-out one.
He did. A little red, like, a little, like, tiny red digital camera that he was, like, holding up at different times. That's so true. Max couldn't keep a straight face the way Neve could. He kept, like, laughing and being, like, oh, my, like, at the lies.
He had strong bro energy.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany, thank you so much for joining us on True Romance to talk catfish.
It was an absolute pleasure. I might continue the season one of Catfish after I get off of this.
Me too.
I did start to watch season one, episode two, and it's honestly a really good one.
Okay, I might join.
The stakes are higher, but also, Brittany, thank you for all the times that I would come to your desk after a horrible date, one night stand, dating, single life experience and say, I'm going to be single forever. I'm never going to meet anyone. It's horrible. I hate everything. I should have never broken up with anyone. I should just be with whoever walks down the street, trash person that comes my way. And you would say, it's okay. Just keep going. You're going to find someone who's just as self-centered as you, that they watch an entire documentary and TV show and think that the main takeaway from it is that they should have done something different with their life. That is exactly what you said.
I also did make you tell me about the trash people and you know, I could vet them for you and just say, like, okay, well, this guy might be worth your time. I don't know. Everything, I will say, everything I said to you was true, though.
It was true. I did find someone.
So, it's it all, true. We can all be happy like Sunny and Chelsea at the end of the day.
Thank you, Brittany, for giving us 2 hours of your time.
We'll catch you guys next time on True Romance.
Bye.